ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसचाणोरमर्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः। ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यां तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। We have seen the Akhyayika, the story which presents the context of Bhagavad Gita teaching in the first chapter, where we understand how, in which situation Arjuna became very sorrowful in the battlefield. Therefore, the first chapter itself is given the title Vishada Yogaha. Vishadaha means, we know, despondency, despair, grief. So that chapter is only, that chapter does not present any teaching. It presents the connection in, presents a situation in which the teaching becomes necessary. Therefore, the first chapter presenting the Akhyayika, the story, not the whole story, a brief incident as part of this thing, should be taken as Arthavada portion. Arthavadaha. Arthavadaha means what? The portion which is connected to the Shastram, but which does not present any teaching. In the Veda Shastram also, we have Veda Antabhaga, the end portion of the Veda, where the teaching, the nature of the reality is unfolded as the nature of the self. It's actual teaching, Upanishad Bhagaha. Brahma Vidya, the portion which serves as a means of attainment of knowledge of Brahman. The rest of the portion, there are also portions which present the different other things, such as the glorification of devatas, the glorification of the benefit of jnanam, any glorifications, or the things important for rituals, except they are discussed. And those portions are known as Arthavada portions. In the same way here also, the entire Bhagavad Gita presents the essence of the Upanishads. We know very well, all Upanishads are like the cows, and Bhagavad Gita presents the essence of the Upanishads. So this Bhagavad Gita's teachings are the milk. Bhagavad Gita teaching is like a milk extracted from Upanishad cows. So in the Bhagavad Gita also we have Arthavada portion. That Arthavada portion, only the first chapter forms the Arthavada portion of the Bhagavad Gita. So presents the context in which the teaching happened. The teaching became necessary, important. Then the second chapter has the title Jnana Yogaha. We know very well second chapter presents the Bhagavad Gita, entire teaching of Bhagavad Gita in a nutshell, which is known as Upakrama Dhyayaha, which is an epitome of the entire Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan Krishna introduces both disciplines. The nature of the Atma is discussed in the very beginning, and Bhagavan begins his teaching from the 11th verse onwards until the 27th verse. And Bhagavan also taught the discipline of Karma Yoga as a preparatory means. And we also saw the wise person's definition. Sthita Prajna Lakshanam also was discussed in the second chapter. The three main topics were discussed in the second chapter. Therefore, the second chapter was given the title Sankhyam. Sankhyam means Jnanam. Samyak Khyayate Anena Iti Sankhyam. That by which the whole teaching, the vision is understood in a nutshell, is said to be Sankhyam. Sankhya Yoga. And the third chapter, Bhagavan exclusively elaborates on the topic of Karma Yoga. See, Jnanam and Karma, two words. Jnanam is the knowledge. Karma is an action. Jnanam means knowledge, Karma means action. Why do we add the word yoga? When you say Vishada Yogaha, Sankhya Yogaha, Karma Yogaha, every chapter is given the title Yoga. Jnana Karma Sanyas Yogaha, Dhyana Yogaha. So there the word Yogaha means just a topic, subject matter. Arjuna's grief forms the content, subject matter of the first chapter, therefore Vishada Yogaha. Sankhyam forms the content of the second chapter, therefore Sankhya Yogaha. Karma is the topic of third chapter, therefore it's called Karma Yogaha. So the word Yogaha as a title of the chapter means the title, the topic. But the word Yogaha means union. The word Yogaha means knowledge. The word Yogaha means a preparatory discipline. So we have to understand the contextual meaning of the word yoga in a given context appropriately. But when the word yoga is added to the word jnanam, jnana yogaha, there it be jnanam word implies the pursuit of jnanam. The pursuit of jnanam is the discipline. Pursuing knowledge itself is a discipline. And by following the discipline of the pursuit of jnanam, knowledge can be attained. There's a way how knowledge should be pursued. That is why we call it a discipline. How can a person pursue jnanam? What is the pursuit of jnanam? There's a way, there's a method how knowledge should be pursued. That's why the pursuit of jnanam is said to be a discipline. Because the methodology is involved. One must listen to the teaching systematically from the scratch, listening to what should be listened to on the very first day, what should be listened to later on, what should be heard later on. The systematically, step by step, regularly listening to the teaching, unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram is Shravanam. So Shravanam forms the first step, is a part of the main part of the discipline known as pursuit of Jnanam. How long should a person be listening? One must listen, repeatedly one should listen. Continuously one should listen. Constantly one should listen. Paunah punyena shravanam. Repeatedly listening, systematically, regularly, consistently, constantly, for length of time, step by step, alone becomes a discipline. And following this discipline results in the attainment of Jnanam, which means following this discipline results in the resolution of ignorance. So Shravanena Ajnana Nivrittihi Bhavati. How long? For length of time. As we keep on listening, after some time, listening itself will become mananam also. Listening itself will become gradually nidhyasanam also. In keeping with how far we have listened to. Ajnana nivrittihi happens. Definitely, systematic listening will result in resolving the ignorance. Even though ignorance becomes resolved, there is some knowledge is there. The knowledge may not be clear knowledge, may not be doubt-free knowledge, may not be unshakable knowledge, because knowledge of the vastu, the truth, can be ascertained only if it is doubt-free. Becomes ascertained only if it is doubt-free. Doubts are possible if it is not ascertained. Why? Because the same truth can be viewed differently by different people. That is why we have many systems of philosophy, many schools of thought, because they all try on their own independently. All are equally desperately aspiring for the truth, aspiring for the vision of the truth. All are desperately aspiring for freedom. They want to benefit from the knowledge. But there are people who do not accept and make use of this available unique pramanam called Vedashastram. They try independently because they're intelligent. They try their own intelligence, use the intelligence, and they try to use logic because they're intelligent. Therefore, they have their own views and contentions. They do arrive at some contentions, but they have from their own standpoint, they may say something, but still they have their own limitations because they cannot establish logically. Somewhere they fail, and easily we can see the logical fallacies. Even though we cannot do ourselves, commentators, especially Bhagavad Pada, whom we bow to, whom we follow, Bhagavad Pada's commentaries helps us understand the limitations, the fallacies, and the other's views. It helps us resolve the doubts. Then studying the Shastram with the Bhashyam also, after having heard the unfoldment of the original text in the teacher, again when we listen to the Bhashyam, we do understand the logical fallacies and limitations. It's not for proving others being wrong, it is for genuinely our own genuine clarity. Our clarity. We do not want to have doubtful knowledge. If we want benefit from the teaching, our knowledge must be doubt-free, clear. Therefore, trying to show or see the defects in others' views, the logical loopholes in others' views, are their views being contradicting the Shruti's statements or Smriti's statements, is not to belittle others, but to have our own clarity, or our clear understanding, for us to benefit from the knowledge, for us to be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. So, mananam also forms part of this discipline of pursuit of jnana. So mananam is not possible without having done shravanam, though mananam should follow the shravanam. That's why we say it's a discipline. So shravanam itself, with the commentary study, becomes mananam, where our doubts gradually resolves. As our doubts resolve, even if we do not have doubts, we can understand how understand the possibility of the others having such their views. Why do they have such views? How, when they fail in using Veda Shastramasti Pramanam, how they are not able to arrive at the truth in spite of their being extremely brilliant. They are all not ordinary people. All rishis, Kanadaha, Kapilaha, Patanjali, all the great rishis, brilliant people. Still, somewhere, they have their limitations because they do not see Veda as the primary means. They do not use it. Until we understand that how important it is to be relying on Veda Shastra. So, mananam, also discipline, which forms part of the discipline, which results in samshaya nivrittihi, resolution of doubts. Nothing is attained here. What is resolved should be understood. Ajnana nivrittihi. Shravanam results in resolution of ignorance. And mananam results in resolution of doubts. Once the doubts are also resolved, there is clear knowledge of what has been heard. And clear, what has been clearly understood has the possibility of being forgotten. Thereby, it is possible for one to miss the enjoyment of the benefit of jnanam. The whole effort will be wasted if a person is not able to enjoy the benefit of jnanam. what is the use of having attained jnanam if I'm not able to enjoy the benefit of jnanam? The whole effort is for the enjoyment of the benefit of jnanam. If one has to enjoy the benefit of jnanam, the jnanam must be ever remembered. It should never be forgotten. Which means it must be there on the part of a person. It need not be used all the times. But one must remember one's clear vision one has. Whenever there's a need for it to be used, one must be able to recollect and remember and use it. That means knowledge must be handy always. To have the knowledge handy, ready always to protect whenever to use it, whenever there's a need, it must be doubtlessly assimilated, ascertained. And in order to have such enjoyable, the knowledge, the benefit of which can be enjoyed, not to have such jnanam, enjoy, to have it ascertained, one must repeatedly, constantly dwell upon what has been clearly understood. And to be able to dwell upon what has been clearly understood, also one must have that mental disposition. The contemplative, meditative disposition. So if a person has already gone through the discipline of karma yoga, naturally, the person will have such mental disposition also. Steadiness will be there. It is possible for one to focus on what has been understood clearly and repeatedly dwelling upon what has been clearly understood. One can get it ascertained, assimilated. And is repeatedly dwelling upon what has been clearly understood alone is said to be nididhyasanam, contemplation. So contemplation is a purely a mental activity. Mental activity or any activity is not for combining it with the jnanam. It is not for resolving ignorance. It is not for removal of ignorance. It's only for assimilation of the teaching. So repeatedly dwelling upon what has been known already is for assimilating it, ascertaining it. Therefore, nididhyasanam is a mental activity which is done after the attainment of jnanam for ascertaining it. And saguna upasanam, the meditation is practiced before the attainment of jnanam for steadying the mind. Anyway, meditation is a mental activity which is practiced before the attainment of jnanam for mental steadiness. Practiced after the attainment of jnanam is for ascertainment of the teaching. Anyway, as meditation is a mental activity, is not for the removal of ignorance. Now we know shravanam is the means of resolving ignorance. Mananam is the means of resolving the doubts. And nididhyasanam is a means of assimilating, ascertaining the knowledge. Ascertained knowledge, assimilated knowledge is for enjoying the benefit of knowledge. and enjoying the benefit of knowledge is nothing but enjoying the freedom which already always one has. Which is being happy, happiness. So, Jnana Yoga is a discipline followed for pursuing Jnanam, as a pursuit of Jnanam. The word yoga here means a discipline. Then we have karma yoga. Even karma is nothing but activity, physical, oral, mental activities come under the title of karma. But anything we do physically, orally, mentally, when it is done with the proper attitude, then it becomes a discipline. It contributes to our mental preparation. An action, physical, oral or mental actions, when practiced, performed with the proper attitude, it contributes for emotional maturity, it contributes for mental purification, it contributes for mental steadiness, it contributes for managing the emotions. Then it is called discipline. A karma becomes a discipline. What converts the action karma into discipline is the attitude with which we pursue. So, karma, performance of karma itself with the proper attitude is a discipline. Therefore, karma yoga and jnana yoga. These are two disciplines. So simply we're exposed to the first, we're listening to the nature of the reality, nature of the self being unfolded, revealed by the words of the Shastra. The second chapter, therefore those words, that portion is part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga, where Bhagavan Krishna teaches the how one should perform karma. That becomes those verses form part of the Karma Yoga discipline. So two disciplines are discussed there, and wise person characteristic features also discussed there. Jnani Lakshanam, Sita Pragya Lakshanam. Then the karma alone is taken separately, and the karma is discussed in the third chapter, Karma Yoga. So now we enter into the fourth chapter. Why I have to tell you about this, all this already known things I have discussed today? Because the topic of the fourth chapter is Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So Sannyasa means renunciation. So Jnana Karma Sannyasa forms the topic of the fourth chapter. Therefore, Jnana Karma Sannyasa. Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Jnana Karma Sannyasa, the subject matter of the fourth chapter. Therefore, the topic being such, this is known as Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Karma Sannyasa, Karmanaha Sannyasa, Karma Sannyasa, renunciation of action. When does a person renounce actions? When can one renounce actions? There's no way of renouncing actions at all. If actions cannot be renounced at all, then why should Shastram talk about renunciation of actions? So karma sannyasaha means, literally it means, when a person, literally it means taking to a life of renunciation. Brahmachari, if a brahmachari skipping the ashramas in between, skipping the grastha ashrama and vanaprastha ashrama, directly takes to a life of sannyasa, then that is said to be karma sannyasaha. It's called naishtika brahmacharyam. If a grihastha, having completed his grihastha's life, duties, completed his duties of a grihastha, skipping the vanaprastha ashrama, takes to life of sannyasa, it is sannyasa. Then it's called karma sannyasaha. A person skip after going through vanaprastha ashrama also, then properly enters into the sannyasa, takes the life sannyasa, then it is called karma sannyasa. So from any ashrama, one can directly or indirectly, going through other ashramas, one can take to life of sannyasa. Then that is karma sannyasa. Then which karma the person renounces then? Whoever has taken to life of sannyasa can renounce only social obligatory duties. Whether a brahmachari becomes a sannyasi, whether a householder becomes a sannyasi, or vanaprasthi becomes a sannyasi, okay, the person who enters into the fourth ashrama can renounce only obligatory, social obligatory duties. Can renounce certain religious Vedic rituals. Rituals can be given up. When a person gives up either religious rituals, Vedic rituals, or obligatory duties, what should he be doing? Swamiji is asked, what should he be doing? You can't simply give up and have fun. Okay? Once you give up those activities, means you have greater responsibility of putting your mind only in Shastra study. Either a person must be given, mind must be, the sannyasi must make all efforts to place the mind only in subject matter of the Shastram, only in Bhagavan, only in Puja, only in worship, only in praying for the welfare of others. Mainly only in Shastra, subject matter of the Shastram. Either in Shravanam or in Mananam or in Nididhyasanam. Sannyasi must be Nididhyasanam all the time. If he's still being a sannyasi, also is not eligible, at least he must be involved in mananam. Or he must be in shravanam. And sannyasi must be sharing the knowledge with others in teaching. Either through teaching or by studying, sannyasi's mind should not be given to anything else. Only then there's a sannyasa. Such a sannyasi's food and shelter will be definitely taken care of by society. If you are not doing other things, means you should know how to keep yourself occupied. No social obligatory duties, no other rituals. Rituals means how are you going to keep yourself occupied? Mental occupation, isn't it? Very important. There should not be anyone who is not occupied mentally. If you don't keep yourself occupied in productive, contributive, appropriate things, you will end up doing something wrong. That is why ashramas are prescribed, ashrama dharmas are prescribed, so you are not a vagabond. You know where you fit in, what you should be doing. That is why when girls and boys may become mature at some certain age, and the parents see that that fellow gets married, so that he knows he has something to hold on to in life, to do what he should be doing. Everything is done properly. Because everyone is properly occupied. So that occupation should contribute for one's maturity. Whatever you occupy yourself with, is it? See that it contributes for one's growth. We don't need to worry about physical growth. It's all for emotional maturity. How far a person should become, should be growing, how far? Growing, emotional maturity, what is the scale of the emotional maturity? What is the level, how far a person should grow emotionally? The Shastram talks about absolute maturity, which I mentioned even in the previous class session. So when the mind discovers its own truth, when ahankara resolves in its own swarupam, when I-sense resolves in its own swarupam, the search on the part of the mind comes to an end, then mind is an absolutely mature mind. Absolutely mature mind will resolve later on. Immature mind will come back, assuming a mind, body. There's no way of having an absolutely mature mind without a jnanam. Mind with clear vision of the truth of itself is the most mature mind, which cannot become any more mature, most ripe. Then it has to resolve. That's when we say videha mukti. The immature mind will come back again and again. So karma sannyasaha, literally a primary meaning of the karma sannyasa means being given to the light of renunciation, having given up social obligatory duties and other rituals, etc., in order to commit oneself totally to the pursuit of jnanam. That is only primary. But actually implied meaning, what is implied by karma sannyasa here in this fourth chapter is the word karma sannyasa means renunciation of actions through knowledge. Jnanena karma sannyasaha, jnana karma sannyasaha. Renunciation of actions through knowledge, which means physically no activity should be given up. It is impossible for any one of any ashrama to give up physical activities totally. How can we give up activities physically? Impossible. Brahmachari cannot. Grihastha, not at all possible to give up anything. Vanaprasthi cannot. Sannyasi also cannot give up physical activities. Physical activities are very important for maintaining the physical body, for surviving in the world. So, giving up physical activities is not recommended. Then what is the word karma sannyasaha mean? So renunciation of actions through knowledge means knowing one's own real nature being Brahman, one's own self being Brahman, and claiming actionlessness, the nature of the reality as one's own nature. Is the meaning of the word renunciation of actions through knowledge. Seeing one's own nature being actionlessness, seeing one's own self being Brahman, thereby seeing one's own nature being actionlessness, seeing oneself being free from doership and enjoyership is Jnana Karma Sanyasaha, renunciation of actions through knowledge. Seeing oneself being free from the notion, I am the doer, I am an enjoyer, is renunciation of actions through knowledge. So physically renouncing the actions is not possible. Physically renouncing actions is not sannyasaha. Sannyasaha means renunciation of the wrong notions. In fact, nothing is renounced here. Seeing the fact, seeing already one's own self being free from doership and enjoyership, thereby freeing oneself from the wrong notions that I am the doer and enjoyer, is renunciation of actions through knowledge. Therefore, the fourth chapter is going to elaborate the first 25 verses of the second chapter, which 11th verse onwards until the 27th verse, 16, 17 verses. The 17 verses of the second chapter are going to be elaborated here in this fourth chapter, which means we are going to understand how truth of oneself, the content of I implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of actionlessness. That's the main subject matter of the fourth chapter. Jnana Karma Sanyasaha, which forms the subject matter of the fourth chapter. Okay. Here, Bhagavad Pada introduces the fourth chapter. Let us see. Even though some people may not like using Samucha Samskritam, but when we have committed ourselves to study the Bhashyam, we can't help. We have to go stand this Samskritam. So, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga is introduced by Bhagavad Pada. First, look at this. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Atha Chaturthodhyayah Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yogah. There is Avatarika. Avatarika means introduction. Bhagavad Pada's Avatarika. Bhashyam. Introduction, Avatarika Bhashyam we had for Bhagavad Gita itself. And here an avatarika for the fourth chapter, introductory bhashyam for the fourth chapter. So Acharya says, very important, beautiful, concise bhashyam. Long sentence. Yoyam yogaha, yaha ayam yogaha. So, ayam yogaha means what? This discipline. I told you the word yoga should be understood carefully in the context. This yaha. Yaha means what? That which, the relative pronoun. So, time being, we leave aside this relative pronoun. We'll take this ayam yogaha. This discipline. This teaching. Okay. Adhyayadvayena. Adhyayadvayam means what? The second chapter and the third chapter. Bhagavad Pada Adhyayadvayam means a set of two chapters, the second and the third. So, Adhyayadvayena means in these two chapters, in the set of two chapters, second and in the third, ayam yogaha, the discipline which has been taught. What, which discipline has been taught, we'll see here. Uktaha, adhyayadvayena ayam yogaha uktaha. So this discipline has been taught in two chapters. Ayam yogaha, adhyayadvayena uktaha. And what is the discipline which has been taught in two chapters? He says, jnananishtha lakshanaha. Jnananishtha lakshanaha yogaha, adhyayadvayena uktaha. Jnananishtha lakshanaha means what? Lakshana means in the form of. The discipline which has been taught in the previous two chapters, second and the third chapters, is Jnanishtha lakshana means Jnana yogaha. Jnana yoga is the discipline taught in the first two chapters, second and the third. What the first chapter, as I told you already, the first chapter is, a portion dealing with the story. So, Akhyayika Bhagaha. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is what now? Arthavada Bhagaha. The portion known as Arthavada portion or a story part which possesses the context. So we leave aside the first chapter. Second, Adhyaya Dvayam here means what? Second and third chapters. Now we have come to the fourth chapter. So this, for second and in the third chapters, the discipline which has been taught is Jnana Yogaha. So Jnana Yoga, Jnana Nishtha Lakshanaha means Jnana Yogaha, which means in the vision of Acharya, Jnana Yoga is a very important discipline. That does not mean he does not say Karma Yoga. What he says, that everything is ultimately for Jnanam. So he wants to emphasize that ultimately the whole life is lived. Everything, whatever we do, we go through all the ashramas, everything is done ultimately for attaining Jnanam. It is Jnanam which makes a person absolutely mature. That is how life becomes complete. That is how life becomes meaningful. That is how there will be satisfaction. Until then, there will be restlessness, there will be agitation, there will be trauma, there will be turbulence. Therefore, Jnananishtha Lakshanaha means Jnana Yogaha. So, Jnana Yoga is the discipline taught in two chapters. How it was taught? Sasanyasaha. Sasanyasaha, which also involves what now? Sasanyasaha. Karma Yoga Upayaha. He takes two words, sasanyasaha, karma yoga upayaha. This discipline of jnana yoga involves the renunciation, is called sasanyasaha jnana yoga. Discipline of the pursuit of jnanam, Arihana's jnana yoga, is associated with renunciation. That does not mean you should give up everything and wear saffron robes and go away. No. Sasanyasaha jnana yoga means what? The discipline of jnana yoga, which is associated with renunciation. We'll understand later on what it is. Then, this jnana yoga is also what now? Karma yoga upayaha. The discipline of jnana yoga, which is associated with the sannyasa, which has karma yoga as a prerequisite discipline. Karma yoga upayaha. Karma yoga upayaha yasya yogasya. Karma yoga upayaha jnana yoga, which means upayaha means. So karma yoga is the means of preparing oneself for entering into jnana yoga. Therefore, this jnana yoga discipline has been taught in the two chapters, which is also, this jnana yoga discipline is associated with the sannyasa, renunciation, and which has the discipline of karma yoga as a prerequisite qualification. Understand? This is the first sentence, meaning of the first sentence. I'll tell you again. Ayam yogaha jnana. I'm going to tell the post order hereafter. Okay? Here. Karma yoga upayaha jnanishtha lakshanaha sasanyasaha ayam yogaha adhyayadvayena uktaha. This is the proper prose order. I'll repeat again. Karma yoga upayaha jnanishtha lakshanaha sasanyasaha ayam yogaha adhyayadvayena uktaha. What he, Shankaracharya, says now, this discipline known as jnana yoga, associated with this renunciation, having karma yoga as its prerequisite qualification, has been taught in the two chapters, second and the third. So what does it mean? He has included karma yoga, which means karma yoga and jnana yoga are not two different paths. Karma yoga is an indirect means of attainment of jnanam, remaining as a preparatory discipline for jnanam. So without going through the discipline of karma yoga, it is not possible for one to have mental preparation. Without having adequate mental preparation, it is not possible for one to go through the discipline of jnana yoga. It is not possible for one to enjoy the benefit of jnanam. Jnanam also. Therefore, karma yoga is a prerequisite discipline which we followed as a preparatory discipline for jnana yoga. Therefore, already Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear there's no need, it is not possible to combine jnanam with karma as a means of attainment of moksha. Knowledge alone is required for moksha. For that jnanam, one has to go through the discipline of jnana yoga. And to be eligible to go through the discipline of jnana yoga, one must be adequately mentally prepared. prepared, and that mental preparedness is accomplishable by going to the discipline of Karma Yoga. There is no way of combining Jnanam and Moksha. Therefore, he says straight away, this discipline, characterized by this discipline, otherwise said to be Jnana Yoga, which is associated with Sannyasa, which has Karma Yoga as its prerequisite qualification, prerequisite discipline, has been taught in two chapters. Is it clear? I decided because last time people were struggling with the Bhasha. That's why I thought it would be slow. So you understand everything. When you say Jnanishtha Lakshanaha, means don't get confused. Jnanishtha Lakshanaha means the discipline which is pursued with the commitment for Jnanam is Jnanishtha Lakshanaha. That's the mean. That's nothing else. Sa Sannyasaha. He is associated with the Sannyasa, which has Karma Yoga as a prerequisite means. Okay. Yasmin. So in the discipline, Vedarthaha Parisamaptaha. Vedarthaha Parisamaptaha. Vedartha Parisamaptaha, which means the Tatpariyam of the Veda, the aim of the Veda becomes completed. In which the aim of the Veda becomes completely accomplished. Okay, he says, Pravrutti Lakshanaha, Nivrutti Lakshanaha cha. Pravrutti Lakshanaha, Nivrutti Lakshanaha. So two disciplines are said to be pravruttihi, nivruttihi, two disciplines. So this pravruttihi, nivruttihi. Pravruttihi means what? Pravruttihi stands for the path of activity. Nivruttihi, the path of renunciation. Now, so these two disciplines, Pravrutti Lakshanaha means Jnana Yoga, they are Karma Yoga. Nivrutti Lakshana means Jnana Yoga. The two disciplines otherwise said to be Pravruttihi and Nivruttihi. These two have been taught, which means in these two disciplines, he doesn't even say two, he doesn't separate it. There's only Jnana. The Shastram teaches the Jnana Yoga discipline, which is associated with Sannyasa, which has Karma Yoga as a prerequisite means. In this, the entire aim of the Veda Shastram, Tatparyam Veda Shastram, becomes accomplished. Parisamapt Yasmin Pravrutti Lakshanaha Nivrutti Lakshanaha cha Vedartha Parisamaptaha. Yasmin Vedartha Pravrutti Lakshanaha Nivrutti Lakshanaha cha Samaptaha. What he says, Bhagavata Sarvasu Gita Sucha. Ayam eva yogaha vivakshitaha. What was intended to teach or intended by Bhagavan and what was intended to be taught by Bhagavan also was nothing but the same teaching of the Veda Shastra. Bhagavata Gitasu Sarvasu Ayameva Yogaha Vivakshitaha. What was desired to be taught by Bhagavan in the verses of Bhagavad Gita also is nothing but the same discipline Jnana Yogaha, which has Karma Yoga as a prerequisite means and which is associated with Sannyasa. Is it clear now? Bhagavata Gitasu Sarvasu Ayameva Yogaha Vivakshitaha. Vivakshitaha means what? What was desired to be taught? Bhagavata, what was desired to be taught by Bhagavan in all the verses of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the same discipline Jnana Yogaha, which has Karma Yoga as a prerequisite means, which is associated with Sannyasa, renunciation. Ataha, therefore, Vedartham Parisamaptam Manvanaha. Therefore, thinking, Manvanaha means considering, thinking, that the entire teaching, the core vision of the entire Veda Shastram has been completed in the first two, the third and second chapters. Vedartham parisamaptam manva, parisamaptam iti manvanaha, thinking the essence of the entire Veda Shastram consisting of two disciplines, one is pravritti lakshanaha, vivritti lakshanaha, has been completed, completely presented in the first two chapters, second and third chapters, thinking, tam vamsha kathanena stauti Bhagavan. Now Bhagavan praises, stauti, second conjugation verb, stauti means stutim karoti. Stauti, studatu. And then stauti is a verb. Stutim karoti, stauti, Bhagavan stauti. Bhagavan Krishna praises, Bhagavan Krishna glorifies. Glorifies what? Glorifies this knowledge. How does Bhagavan glorify the knowledge? Vamsha kathanena. By mentioning, by narrating, by talking about the vamsha, the lineage of teachers, by praising the parampara, by praising the parampara through which knowledge has been coming down. Bhagavan praises knowledge. How glorious this Brahma Jnanam is. An ordinary wisdom. This wisdom has been coming down timelessly through the unbroken lineage of teachers. Why is unbroken lineage? Because a beginningless, there's a beginningless. This teaching knowledge is beginningless wisdom. Veda Shastram is a timeless wisdom, timeless Shastram. Timeless Shastram, timeless knowledge has been taught timelessly through the unbroken lineage of teachers, which has Bhagavan as the beginning link. Bhagavan himself is the beginning link of this lineage of teachers. which means the Shastram comes from Bhagavan. Shastra Jnanam comes from Bhagavan. That is the greatness of this wisdom. By saying Shastram comes from Bhagavan, the Shastra teaching begins from Bhagavan, comes from Bhagavan himself directly means, by saying this, what Bhagavan Krishna wants to say is, wants to show is, that Veda Shastram is a timeless Shastram. Why does Bhagavan praise here? Because thinking the entire Veda, core vision of the Veda Shastram has been completed in these first two chapters. Therefore, now Bhagavan wants to elaborate on the same teaching. And before he begins elaborating what has been given in a nutshell in the two chapters, he praises the knowledge by praising the parampara, lineage. Vamsha kathanena, by mentioning about the lineage, Bhagavan praises this teaching. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanahamauyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manurikshvakave Braviti. Aham Proktavan, Bhagavan says, I taught. Aham proktavan, prauktavan, prakrishena uktavan. I carefully taught this shastram. Aham proktavan. So mean Bhagavan says, I myself had taught this. To whom? Vivasvan. Son. Vivasvan taught this to Manu. Manu taught this to Ikshvaku. This is how, beginning from me, the Bhagavan, this teaching has been there through the unbroken lineage of teachers. And this yogam, avyayam yogam, he says avyayaha yogaha. This discipline, the teaching of this discipline, the teaching, even avyayaha, this is indeclinable, imperishable, indestructible teaching. I imparted to Vivasvan. Vivasvan taught this to Manu. Manu taught this to Ikshvaku. Same teaching has been here. This literal meaning of the verse will catch up next week. Okay? Because so many things will become very clear. You will understand what is avatara, who is avatara, how much I should take avatara. Everything will become very clear. We'll see next class. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.